Tonight, you're going to make a memory that will last a lifetime. That memory could be of you standing in a roaring crowd, helping your team defend home ice. Or that memory could be of you watching the game at home, while your spouse clips her toenails, and your son practices the saxophone, and your daughter makes a smoothie. Get your tickets on StubHub. Your ticket out.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Dean Blundell and Company.
All the preteen children out there, listen to my voice. You are immortal.
I give it to him, Klaus, and a Ric Flair.
I didn't realize it was my job to pump his tires.
Let's go now.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Pardon me, 5:30. It's got the time wrong already. Started poorly.
I can't do my work.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't stand it. I know you planned it.
Morning. It is Dean Blundell and Company. It is Thursday. There's some great news. Hey, you know what happened yesterday? Sadness. Because I was thinking about this on the way in. If there's anything more maddening than losing, it's losing when you absolutely deserve to win. And that's what happened last night down at the Air Canada Centre. Slow start for the Leafs. Great finish for the Wild. Playing that boring-ass, super boring defensive hockey. Tried as they might, the Toronto Maple Leafs out shooting the Wild in the third period yesterday. 17-3. Deserved the win. Didn't get it. They lose 3-2 to the Minnesota Wild. And
you
now,
cannot lose games.
You cannot
still
lose
win.
Games and still win, George. Not only can you not lose games and still win. You apparently can go anywhere but down when you lose, and that's what happened yesterday as the Toronto Maple Leafs now dead last in the division. There you go. You knew it was a matter of time. Mike Babcock saying, yeah, you know, these kids are good little players. They're good little players, he said last night after the game, but they got to figure out a way to win, and I couldn't agree more. Freddie Anderson, yeoman's work in the second and the third. He was really good as well. I thought Austin Matthews was excellent. I thought Tyler Bozak turned back the clock as much as you can when you're 30 years old. He looked really good yesterday, but you know what? The Minnesota Wild show everybody why that brand of boring-ass hockey sometimes is successful, and they win 3-2 down at the Air Canada Centre. Good morning, Georgie boy. How are you, sir?
I'm super, Dean, and you're right. You know when Bruce Boudreau got behind the bench in Minnesota, you're like, you know what? They're going to open it up now.
Because that's what he does.
Yeah, they're an exciting brand. We saw that in Anaheim. We saw that in Washington. It's going to be great. Man, it's like a horse tranquilizer to the neck when you watch the Minnesota Wild. And they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. They just try to stifle that game. And Devan Dubnyk was tremendous for the Minnesota Wild. But again, Wild hockey. God, and I don't want to crap on NHL teams because we always get, you know, the gears for being negative.
And the NHL and all of its partners are the best in the history of partners.
They clearly are.
And whoever broadcasts the game is the best broadcaster ever.
But man, God bless those people in Minnesota to watch that brand of hockey all season, because good God, is it boring.
You know what I was wondering, too, in watching the game, and you know Bruce Boudreau's a run-and-gun guy, and he loves wide-open hockey, and he loves goals, and he lets players play. And every coach, it seems, that goes to Minnesota somehow gets I don't know if it's a Minnesota thing. I don't know if it's the ghost of Jacques Lemaire that runs through that place, but everybody seems to somehow revert to Minnesota Wild hockey, which has been boring ever since they came into the league. And you would think that if one guy is going to breathe a little energy and life into the game, it would be Bruce Boudreau. And listen, I'm not saying this because the Leafs lost. Because, hey, listen, they deserve to win. I absolutely believe that. And Devan Dubnyk was the difference yesterday, specifically in the third. He was unbelievable. Yeah. But everything else that they did in that game, the Minnesota Wild, just had – every time you got through the neutral zone, you just saw five guys stack up. And you went, come on. And then you're forced to dump and chase, and you can't set anything up. And they kept winding Mitch Marner up in the back. I don't know if you saw that, where they'd give him the puck, and they'd say, okay, you get through that center part of the ice, you get through their five wide, and then go in deep and try and figure out a way that we can beat them to the puck. And he's maybe their fastest guy, so that's why they were doing it. Because there was no other recipe for actually getting the puck into the Minnesota Wild's end in the first and the second period. They were better in the third. But still, it didn't contribute to a really entertaining hockey game.
Minnesota are best in the league in terms of goals against per game. So they are really good defensive. And you can only do what your roster, you know, says you can do, right? You look at that roster of the Wild top to bottom. There's not a ton of offense there. But you would be surprised to know that they are 10th in the league in terms of goals for per game. So pretty good. Boudreaux has done a good job with that team. And we didn't see that last night, that offensive team. But, man, can they shut you down? And George will play the clip later about Boudreaux talking about Dubnyk. And no one mentions him as one of the best goalies in the game because he plays in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to talk about the Wild. And I don't either.
Yeah.
But he's right. He outplayed Anderson big time last night. Anderson wasn't bad either. He was fine, but he should have stopped a couple early. He didn't get much help. Bozak missed his man. I mean, he scored a nice goal later, but wasn't very good in his end early in the game. And that was the difference because Dubnyk saw everything. He was outstanding, and there's no way past him. And that's two straight games. Leafs were the better team by far, and Vancouver should have won. And here we are tied for last in the Eastern Conference. And this is the first morning I woke up and said, I don't know if I mind it. I'm going to look at the NHL draft. Mock drafts for the first time I have all, which is nice that it's a
December. Did you see they were doing that on the broadcast yesterday before the game where they had, which they normally don't do, but they had Merrick, who covers the CHL and Sportsnet, Sam Cosentino, and they're like, okay, guys, now it's time to look to see who's coming up. Fresh meat. Who's the 1 through 10 in the upcoming draft? Let's get to the draft rankings. And then they went into detail about certain guys and where they would fit in. So it's interesting how, you know, I think we're even preparing, you know, possibly for not making the playoffs. And it looks more and more like that's the case. I think you're 8 points back of a playoff spot now, quietly slipping out of that conversation. So
they're playing good and they're exciting. We talk about some of the games in the NHL not being so much fun and scoring down. That hasn't really been the case here in Toronto. Most games have been really fun. And it's different for us because we finally have good young players.
Yeah.
So everything's new here.
You're watching some good hockey and you're seeing some future hope with the organization. So it's palatable, absolutely.
Yeah, in this market, it's a good year for hockey. Now, at what point does the attention start turning to the future again? You know, probably later. The Leafs, they go to Boston on Saturday night and then it's a homestand. If they don't pick up a ton of points on that homestand, and then the schedule gets tough again, you know, then you start wondering how this thing is going to go the rest of the year.
It's all about those draft picks, baby.
It'll still be fun.
It should be still.
It'll still be fun, but now I really want another defenseman.
Sure.
And absolutely. I'm going to start thinking about that a bit more, and I wonder when Leafs fans start.
And your foot's off the gas pedal if you're a fan when you talk about getting that defenseman, too. You're like, okay, well, now we can build through the draft and see what's going on. Right. It's not bad, and it's not the end of the world, but you can just sort of see the writing on the wall still that the team's really young, has a hard time closing out games, and has a hard time protecting a lead when they have one. Not that they had one yesterday, but then sometimes you get off to a slow start. It's that much harder to actually get yourself back into the game, and that's what you saw last night. Either way, a loss is a loss, and speaking of losses, just down the road, the only thing that makes me happier than knowing that the future is bright in the city of Toronto is that the future gets grim in the city of Montreal as David Desharnais and Alex Galchenyuk both 6 to 8 weeks with knee injuries. And you know the funny part of that whole thing yesterday,
that's
George,
awesome.
It wasn't that I was thinking of you, watching you, looking at your phone, seeing this news come across your ticker and listening. I can just imagine the four-letter jobs George is dropping right now because you got nothing up front. That's your 1-2 centerman, if I'm not correct.
Well,
but
are you interested in a Peter Holland for a fourth round?
I saw that during the intermission. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
Martin Hanzel.
Did you not laugh? Martin Hanzel. He looked great in the red, white, and blue.
He'll be a difference maker.
But were you not, when you listened to everybody talk about exactly what happened and who was injured and how devastating that is because they're so thin up front as it is, everybody said the same thing. Hey, no big deal. At least it's not Carey Price.
Well, it's true,
Hey, you know what? Could be worse. Could be Carey Price.
You talk about the Boudreaux.
How devastating are these injuries to the Montreal Canadiens? Woo! You know what? We dodged a bullet because it wasn't Carey Price.
All right, people need to slow down on the David Desharnais injury. He's terrible to begin with, and he wasn't even a healthy scratch, and they put him on waivers, and they wanted to get rid of him in the first place. Alex Galchenyuk is the huge loss. He's now their number one center, and he's a guy, kind of like the Boudreaux comment, We're not talking enough about Alex Galchenyuk and how great he's been down the middle for the Habs. He's a guy they took third in the draft, had the pedigree to be a center. He's been tremendous for Montreal this season. And yeah, it's a gigantic loss. But it just goes to show what I've been saying the whole time, Dean, is my team is a lot of smoke
Habs
and
suck?
Mirrors.
Were you saying the Habs suck?
Yeah, they're smoke and mirrors. They're a bit
the
of
Habs
a mirage.
Suck. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, because they can't score up front.
Habs
and then
suck.
You think guys like Thomas Plekanec are going to pick up the mail and start
Habs
scoring
suck.
Goals, and Max Pacioretty come playoff time will
Habs
disappear
suck.
Like a magician that he is. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating that a young guy like Galchenyuk, by the way, hurts that knee who he had surgically repaired in junior. That's a concern, too. But, yeah, you're right. They're super thin. And when you hear names like Martin Hansel and Peter Holland, you're like, good God, Mark Bergevin. This is what it's come
down
to. But
at least
to.
It's not Carey Price. No,
no
concern for
yeah.
the players injured. Everybody said the same thing. Well, you know, at least it's not the Carey Price, because that would be bad.
It would. Well, yeah, but...
This is pretty bad.
Because somehow we turn from the best team in the league to the absolute worst.
Yeah.
When Mr. Price is out of line.
But it was funny to watch. So anyway, we'll get to that coming up a little later on this morning as the Habs get dealt a couple of pretty crappy hands. Meanwhile, speaking of crappy hands, I'm not too sure what kind of poker game they're playing down at the winter meetings in Maryland, in just outside of Washington, D.C., where baseball's winter meetings are going on. Because yesterday, not only did we have a chance to sit and talk about Chris Sale to Boston and how that screws every Blue Jay fan and the Blue Jays for the next couple of years. The New York Yankees went out and signed Aroldis Chapman. Yes, that Aroldis Chapman to a 5-year, $86 million deal. If you're looking for math, I got it for you, $17.2 million. And if you want a record, that is one for a relief pitcher. That happened yesterday. No relief pitcher's ever gotten more money. And if you're going to give it to a guy, you're going to give it to that guy. But my God, $17.2 million a year to pitch, I don't know, every second game, maximum one inning, sometimes maybe just a couple of guys. But I will say this, the Toronto Blue Jays did damage of their own, signing Brett Oberholzer
Boom.
To a minor league deal. And they pointed out yesterday in the broadcast, and he's a southpaw. I went, wow, that's the base.
I was thinking about this. You know the Yankees had both Chapman and Andrew Miller to start the season. How are they so terrible? How did they actually lose games when they had those guys in the back of the bullpen? But you're right, and you talk
and
about
Dylan Betances.
Yeah, and you talk about decline, and we've talked about this. The guy throws 104, 105 miles an hour. Even if his fastball cuts down by, he's still throwing 99, Dean.
Yeah,
in like 3 or 4 years from now, I think if there's ever a guy you're going to open up the wallets to, and pay that money, it's him.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a special skill set. No, no disregard. I mean, the guy...
He throws a shot put while he warms up, for Christ's sake.
He's unbelievable.
It's a shot put, Dean. He whips to the home plate, and you're like, whoa.
And he's got his World Series now, so he went and got the money yesterday. So we'll get to that. And not just the fact that the Yankees signed Aroldis Chapman, and not just the fact that he got the money, but what that does once again to the Toronto Blue Jays and everybody trying to compete in the American League East. And rumors yesterday, too. So two things happened yesterday with the Blue Jays, which we'll get to this morning. One is the general manager of the Baltimore Orioles, Dan Duquette. Lots of guys didn't like this. I know Blair sure didn't when we talked to him yesterday, who's down at the winter meetings broadcasting. He'll do his show from there right after us again today. Dan Duquette basically confirmed and did it verbally that indeed, when speaking to the agent for Juan Jose Bautista, Jay Alou, he said, listen, I have no interest in your player because the fans here hate the guy. And say what you will about that not being a smart thing to say or do when you're trying to win, and that guy might be able to help you win. Say what you will, but I give the guy full marks. And I can tell you this, if one guy's willing to say that, it's not just one guy that has that opinion.
Right.
So if you're wondering why Jose Bautista doesn't have a market or a market as much as you'd think he would, or if he's not having a whole bunch of success in the winter meetings and trying to drum up support to get some money and to get paid and to play, that's probably a bigger reason why than we actually all think.
Don't you want Jose to now re-sign with the Blue Jays just so they can play the Orioles again after these comments? It just adds a little more spice
yeah.
to that rivalry. Because
for sure.
What's
and
wrong
he,
with honesty?
You talk
like,
about a
what
dude
is
that
wrong
plays
with honesty?
With a, nothing. You talk about a dude that plays with a chip on his shoulder?
I don't think he's being completely honest. I think it's BS.
What do you mean?
Duquette, sure, the O's fans don't like him. So, like, I don't like Dustin Pedroia. I take him on my team, 100%, right? Like, I didn't like Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter, but
Everybody yeah, but there likes wasn't Mariano a hatred Rivera for that. Derek Jeter.
Who's the one sure, guy? Who's the one
how
do,
and
player?
How do you hate Mariano Rivera?
Because he was dominant and killed the Jays for two decades.
Right, yeah. But who's the guy that Jays fans hate? You respected Mariano Rivera because he came here for one pitch.
Oh, A-Rod. A-Rod in his hate. Prime. If A-Rod in his prime said he wanted to play here.
Or the whole ha thing?
Yeah, the rounding third base going, ha! Remember that?
It's such BS. Like, it's true. Of course, O's fans don't like him. You think if the players were fine, like if Jose had another great season, they wouldn't want him there. And he comes there and hits a couple bombs in the first game or two. You don't think O's fans will love him?
Absolutely.
I don't
think.
It's such a crock. It's so BS.
You think that for real? Or are you just being contrarian?
No, I think it's not real hate. It's a guy. Your team plays and he pimps it.
I think you underestimate how much people don't like. Like, we're in a bit of a box here.
It's sports.
I mean,
you get over it if you produce.
It's America. They never get over anything.
Oh, please.
No, they don't. They hold grudges forever. They shoot people for walking on their lawn. They're going to hate Jose Bautista and not want to be part of their team.
They hated Terrell Owens in Dallas because the 49ers were rival and he stomped on your. You think the Cowboys fans didn't hate Owens? Comes to his team, catches a couple touchdown passes. We love Terrell.
Do you think it would be a different conversation if Jose Bautista hit 40 bombs 100%. And drove in 120 and hit for like 260? His on base was over 4. Do you think that the Orioles fans would have the same opinion, or Dan Duquette would voice that they did as an excuse not to sign him?
He even joked after he made that comment, Duquette, that about, you know, I'd like him, our fans would like him a bit more if the, you know.
Price went down.
Yeah. Because yeah. He would, because he still has value.
That's a sweet move.
There's no negotiation. I told him what I wanted.
Like, even Bautista, even if he signed there today after the season he had, they'd still love him if he started the season on fire. Right? It's all about production and if your team wins. It's a funny comment, and he's right. His fans don't like him, but that can easily change if he comes out and plays well for your team and fast. So I don't buy it. It's a great clip, and I wish we had more of that. But don't tell me that's true.
I want to believe it's true because I think it's awesome.
I know you do.
I absolutely do. Anyway, 546, that news broke yesterday. Also, more news on Edwin that I guess a couple of guys, including Bob Nightingale, reporting that Edwin indeed still a possibility for the city of Toronto. Tell me if you feel like that girlfriend who's waiting to hear from her boyfriend and whether or not he wants something long term. That's how I feel. Anyway, we'll get to that and much more next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
5:51 morning. Welcome. Dean Blundell and Company for your Thursday. Today we're going to have a cloudy, windy temperature of around zero, maybe some flurries, a little bit of snow. I'm not dreaming of a white Christmas, just so everybody knows. I'm dreaming of a Christmas that's not white. It's more of dull gray with speckles of green.
It's not very festive.
Good news is here, there's football on Christmas Day. Ooh. Doubleheader.
Pow, 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 pow.
Really? Unfortunately, my girlfriend has to work on Christmas Day. Darn.
What are the matchups? Do you know?
I can tell you right now. It doesn't matter.
Well,
I'll tell you what. Speaking of matchups, a hell of a matchup tonight, too, Thursday night football.
Ooh.
You get the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
And the upstart Oakland Raiders from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City.
My
so
Raiders.
There is a bevy of games on Christmas Eve, including an 8:25 kick in Houston between the Bengals and the Texans. Be all over that.
God, that sounds awful.
And on Christmas Day, listen to this.
Doesn't sound great.
Oh, yeah, but these are some good games.
Ring in the holiday cheer with Brock Osweiler and a bunch of
the Red Rifle, Andy
Cincinnati.
Dalton. Vontaze Burfict. Sunday, December 25th, 4:30 kick from Pittsburgh. Ravens and Steelers for the AFC North title, probably. And then 8:30 kick from Arrowhead, Broncos and Chiefs. Hmm. Boom.
Did you call
Merry
them
Christmas.
The Broncos?
Broncos.
That's not bad.
That's a great Christmas Day matchup.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Love it.
Anyway, I don't know how we got on this topic. Oh, Christmas.
Yeah, is, gray. You don't want to.
I don't
want
to. Yeah, no snow is good. We're going to get some today, apparently. So there you go. Today, too, we're going to get to another Twitter poll question. Let's wrap up yesterday. So a lot of votes, a lot of interaction. Anytime you mention Edwin, anytime you mention Jose Bautista, your Twitter poll questions and your participation goes through the roof. Usually around between 1,500 and 2,500 votes for any particular poll. North of 35, sometimes almost 4,000 when you start talking about the Toronto Blue Jays. Ryan Faber, what do you have?
Yeah, we asked if you're cool with Jose Bautista returning on a 1 or 2 year deal. And 78% of voters say yes. So that's what fans were saying about the Jays yesterday. And now apparently the door is somehow open for Edwin again, according to USA Today.
Bob Nightingale, he said the only he goes, barring anything crazy, the only people left in the Edwin sweepstakes, not that they're a sweepstake, it's more like an auction, if you will, of someone else's stuff. But the only people left are the Cleveland Indians, surprise, surprise, and your Toronto Blue Jays.
I just don't buy it. And our second poll question, which was more hard-hitting. What was your favorite game show? What is your favorite game show?
Yeah, I took it right in the...
Yeah, 36%. Family Feud was the most popular.
No way.
The
interesting.
Price is Right, 32%. Yeah. 29% Jeopardy, 3% Let's Make a Deal.
Losers, in other words.
Well.
Yeah.
Let's Make a Deal.
That's crazy. Let's Make a Deal was dead last, and I got a ton of support on Twitter from people that said, hey, listen, people just don't appreciate how talented Wayne Brady is. And I'm like,
Yeah, no kidding.
He's very talented.
We should add Wheel of Fortune on that list.
We should have.
Yeah, we should.
And I was watching that with some tacos with a girlfriend last night.
What,
Wheel of Fortune? And watching Wheel of Fortune.
You guys made tacos?
Yeah.
Old El Paso, right?
Delicious.
Yeah. Did you use any queso sauce? Queso?
No, not queso sauce. Queso no, sauce? Not Ted Cruz queso sauce.
Did you hear
that's
this yesterday?
Mexican cuisine, what George was doing.
Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah.
Did you hear Ted Cruz talk about queso sauce yesterday?
Oh.
It may be one of the most disgusting, disturbing... we'll leave you with this before we begin hour number one, ladies and gentlemen. Someone asking Ted Cruz, for whatever reason, about his love for queso sauce, which is really, simply put, nacho cheese.
What makes Texas queso so great?
It just tastes good. It speaks to the soul. Good queso relaxes you. Look, if cheese dip can be served on a Ritz cracker... or with one of those tiny Vienna sausages. Queso is made to be scooped up with tortilla chips, dribbling down your chin and onto your shirt. One is a visceral, emotional, powerful family bond as you and your kids pour into nachos covered in queso. The other is party favors at an afternoon tea.
Now, I don't know what... I don't know what he's doing with the queso.
Yeah.
Enjoying it.
When he said, queso just relaxes you. Like, what are you doing with the queso?
Yeah.
Hey, anybody else want to know what Ted's been doing to the queso?
Apparently robots love queso.
Anyway, there you go. Ted Cruz, queso.
Your skin crawl, that
5:56.
Guy.
Hour number one begins next. George has an update. We'll get to that. We got free stuff later on today. We got lots of fun guests. Hang out with us, won't you? We'll talk about a Leaf loss, and we'll look forward to what the Blue Jays haven't done at the winter meetings. That's all next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome. Hi, and Thursday, right? Thursday's good news. Let's start off with some good stuff. Thursday's good. Almost Friday, that's even better. And you know what happens on Friday? It's the weekend.
Great weekend this morning. Great weekend this weekend. Great lots of things to watch. Great time of year.
Couldn't have said it better myself, because I wouldn't know how to say that. I still don't know what that old man is saying.
But it's the best.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, lots to get to today. We had a big Leaf game last night down at your Canada Center. Close and not enough. As your Toronto Maple Leafs got down 2-0 early and couldn't crawl out of the hole, even though Tyler Bozak looked really good. That goal he scored was backy shelf if I've ever seen backy shelf. That was big-time backy shelf. That was the example of backy shelf I've been looking for well over a year and a half now. So, anyway, 3-2, good effort. Freddie Anderson was good and not good enough because Devan Dubnyk was better, and specifically in the third period. We've got that coming for you. We'll talk about that this hour as well. Also, the winter meetings continue in Washington, D.C., as baseball tries to get their business in order. And not just that, but your Toronto Blue Jays at it yesterday with a minor league deal for Brett Oberholzer while the Yankees are dealing for Aroldis Chapman. That happened again yesterday. So, hey, listen, the Boston Red Sox have done some work. The Yankees have done some work. And then your Toronto Blue Jays signed Steve Pearce and Brett Oberholzer.
Who would you rather have, Oberholzer or Chapman? Poll question? No?
Yeah, probably. No. We should have a Twitter poll question.
Buy your holiday Blue Jays ticket packs. We got Brett Oberholzer.
Hey, do you think...
That's for Buffalo.
Can I ask you a question? Oh, do you think after they signed Brett Oberholzer that Atkins looked at Shapiro and they shook hands and went,
good job.
Power move.
Guess what? He calls him on the phone. Dad, guess what?
What's that, son?
We signed. I got him. I reeled him in, Dad. Brett Oberholzer's on our team now.
I couldn't be more proud of you, kid. Hey, listen, hot on the heels of Steve Pearce, we had a hell of a week. How'd the Yankees do?
Not good, Dad.
Why's that?
They signed Chapman.
Aroldis Chapman?
Yeah, but we don't got the money.
Yeah, but you know what? We're gonna prove this. We're gonna prove a thing to this crazy world. We're gonna show these fans that we can be financially responsible and somewhat competitive.
I'm with you.
Great job. Screw the Yankees. We didn't
There's
need
really
a guy
more to it than that.
We didn't need a guy that throws 108 miles an hour every time he throws the ball.
Sure didn't.
We didn't need the most dominant closer in the game. We needed Brett Ober. What's his name again, kid?
Oberholzer.
That's right. We needed him.
Can I have a cookie before bed?
Absolutely not. You can have some fruit.
All right.
You don't eat sugar before bed, Ross. You have a fruit. There's plums, there's peaches, there's bananas. You have a cookie. What would the guys in the High Performance Center say about that?
Oberholzer?
That's right, Oberholzer. You want to Oberholzer yourself, you go right ahead and have that cookie. And if you want to pierce yourself, if you want to Steve Pearce yourself, follow that up with a bunch of gummy worms, why don't you? Anyway, so the Jays were at it yesterday.
Yeah. Big moves. They spent hundreds of dollars on free agency yesterday.
You know what it's like? I'll tell you what it's like.
Yeah.
I had a friend whose parents were extremely wealthy. Very, very wealthy. And when I graduated, my dad, I came home. It was like 2 days before graduation. My dad told me he was proud of me. He goes, "Fi, you'd never graduate." This is high school, by the way. And I said, "Can I have some sad music, please? This is a sad story." And I graduate. My dad's like, "I never thought I'd see this happen." Tell you something. I thought you'd be in a gutter somewhere already. Listening to Nirvana, you know, their sad music. Doing hits of something. But I graduated. So my dad did what dads do. They buy you your first car and tell you you're going to have to pay for half of it. Which was smart.
Yeah.
Good news is that he bought me a $500 1983 Ford Escort.
A.K.A. Lady Killer.
Yeah. Right. Wagon, white, red stripe.
Honey wagon, Dean.
Honey wagon, no. So, I thought I was the guy. So I get behind the wheel of this hot rod that had a tape deck. Remember
sweet,
those?
Sweet.
Sweet tape deck. And I take this baby to my second last day of school. And I pulled up next to my friend Scott. Great guy. And he pulled up in his brand new Porsche 911.
Are you serious?
That his father bought him. Yeah. And I then quickly reversed my Ford Escort and went and parked in the teacher parking lot. Because I'm so embarrassed by the fact that that was the best my family could do for me. And Scott Campbell, well, I like the guy. His dad bought him a Porsche.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, granted, it was a year old. So,
yeah, no kidding.
When I said to him, nice car, he goes, it's a year old. I'm like, oh my God.
I told you, Dad, I wanted it in black. He's like, I hate you.
He's like, I thought your dad just bought you a new car. I'm like, no, no, he didn't. I don't own a car. Anyway, imagine that that's how Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro are feeling this morning watching Dave Dombrowski go out and get Chris Sale and everybody else. Aroldis Chapman signing in New York, where they maybe have the best, second best young group of position players in baseball this year. And you know what they did? They Brett Oberholzer'd us. That Ford Escort is Brett Oberholzer. That's what I called it. It was the Oberholzer mobile. We got Oberholzer'd. They got Chapman'd.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
You are.
All right.
Still early here in the offseason, guys.
If I hear you say that one more time after we got Oberholzer'd yesterday, I'm going to get upset.
You're right. The last 2 years, the Jays traded for Josh Donaldson in November and signed Estrada and Happ in November. But it's early.
Mm-hmm. What, you can only do deals in November?
No.
Clearly, this management team has a thought process, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to talk myself into this.
Yeah, okay.
No, it is early. They will do something. And I will be ready to crap on them if the team doesn't look good in the springtime.
I'm going
to
hold you to that crapping.
Okay.
6:09.
That's weird.
Do it.
What is that?
Time for an update.
Told you now, Favreau.
It's George.
Hey, the Maple Leafs tried to tame the Minnesota Wild last night down at the ACC in hopes of climbing out of the Eastern Conference basement. Head coach,
I'll call that crapping.
Yeah,
and I will raise you one.
Yeah. Head coach,
do
Mike.
It now.
Do it.
It's early. I can't.
Head coach Mike Babcock was asked about that very thing during the morning skate.
You're in last place in the Eastern Conference this
morning.
Did you speak to that?
Nope.
There you go.
You're in last place in the Eastern Conference this morning. Could you speak to that?
Now, this is where my mouth gets me in trouble from time to time, is who asked that question?
I don't know.
Is it someone with Sportsnet?
Fabro's really good at recognizing...
Could you play that one more time?
You're in last place in the Eastern Conference this morning. Could you speak to that?
Nope.
What a stupid question. It's a ridiculous... Yeah, you're in last place in the Eastern Conference. Tell me how it feels. Oh, how do you think it feels? I was going to say a bad word. That's the kind of reporting that's silly to me. That's the kind of stuff that you hear and you go, you know what? That guy is so much more than you will ever be, speaking of Mike Babcock. Nope is the perfect answer for that guy. And I hope he freezes him out of every other interview. Hey, you're last in the Eastern Conference. Tell me how being last makes you feel knowing how competitive you are. That was a rub-in. That's all that was. That was like a greasy Habs reporter that was sent here to do some work. Or that was a Minnesota Wild reporter who's a... You know,
yeah.
Go in.
The only reporter they have, Dean, and they probably sent.
Yeah.
And he's real boring.
Hey. Hey, you guys are in last place. How's it feel? Not great. What a stupid, stupid question. But if that was someone from this organization, not a bad question at all.
You're in last place in the Eastern Conference this morning. Could you speak to that?
Come on. Really?
Nope.
What? Who's doing that? That's not journalism. That's just lazy... Trying to get a rise out of a head coach in the NHL. That's just a make a name for yourself question.
Looking for a good clip. All right, let's get to the game where Babcock's Leafs got into a hole just 8:42 into the game.
Carrick, stand on a pass, but Kadri was there to help out. Now he's double-teamed. The pass in front scores! A turnover back of the net, and Jason Zucker has opened the scoring here for Minnesota.
Yeah, Joe Bowen with the call right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Zucker's fourth beat Freddie Anderson to give Minnesota the 1-0 lead. Did you guys know that in Minnesota they call casserole hot dish?
So good and tasty.
Yeah, the Wild would double their lead 5-40 after opening the scoring thanks to a local kid.
Played by Koivu up on the wing, brought out by Jared Spurgeon ahead. Stewart in on goal, scores! Well, the 20 people he bought tickets for are pretty excited because Chris Stewart, the Toronto native, gets a breakaway pass and makes it 2-0.
Yeah, Stewart's fourth made it 2-0 Wild. Oh, by the way, 27.6 of Minnesotans, Dean, they're obese.
Oh, boy, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
Yeah, Leafs would finally get on the board just 2.5 minutes after the Wild made it 2-0.
Kadri with a shot, stop, rebound, scores! Ben Smith coming off the bench. And a Nazem Kadri shot provides the juiciest of rebounds. It's 2-1.
Yeah, Ben Smith second from Kadri.
I'll tell you what, that was Devin Dubnyk's only mistake last night.
That was a juicy rebound.
That was brutal. But man, oh man, was he unbelievable yesterday.
There was a stick lying on the ice that he never moved. So it actually touched the stick as well. And it had a weird bounce. So it was odd. Like, the stick is right next to you. Clear that out of your crease. So weird.
For like two shifts.
Yeah.
Ben Smith second from Kadri and Riley made it 2-1 Minnesota, and that's where we stood after one. The Wild would restore their two-goal lead just a buck 15 into the middle frame.
Riley taking his man to the ice and Niederreiter. Puck comes in front. They score! A quick pass in front of the net, and Eric Staal is there to bang it home in the backhand. And then Wild have restored their two-goal lead.
Yeah, Staal's sixth made it 3-1 Wild. Did you guys know that Robert Allen Zimmerman was born in May of 1941 in Duluth, Minnesota? He's the man who later became known as Bob Dylan. Did you guys hear the cover he did on Jimmy Fallon of this Drake song?
It's actually not bad. This isn't Bob Dylan. This is Jimmy Fallon doing Bob Dylan.
No, this is Bob Dylan.
I don't think it is.
No, this is Bob Dylan.
Did you get it? Did you get it from video? Or did you get the audio?
I watched it.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
I don't think it is.
It's him.
I don't think so.
I watched it.
Show me.
All right, hold on. Grab the link.
You know what? That is. I think that's Jimmy Fallon.
That's Jimmy Fallon.
That's Fallon doing. Dylan.
Yeah. Dressed up like Bob Dylan.
As guaranteed. You fooled.
You thought that was actually Bob Dylan?
Well, hold on, I'll find it. Could have been.
Yeah, it for sure was.
All right, let me look it up. Let me get to more highlights in a sec. Hey, the Leafs would again close out thanks to some hay.
Can you play some real Fallon clips? Yeah, it's Fallon for sure.
It's okay, totally, whatever. I thought it was
whatever.
Pretty
good. Just whatever.
Had me fooled. Hey, the Leafs would again get close thanks to some backy shelf.
Sent into the Minnesota zone. Broken up, Bozak. Nice move in on the back end. Score! What a play! Tyler Bozak steals the puck, undresses a defenseman, and the old-time backhand finds the back of the net.
Yeah, Tyler Bozak's unassisted goal was his sixth and cut the Wild lead to 3-2. That would be the score heading into the third.
Hey.
What's up?
Two things.
Yeah.
That was the nicest goal I've ever seen Tyler Bozak score, and I've seen him score a few.
Really? That's the nicest?
Yeah. He steals a puck in there and on a bad clearing attempt, and then makes this cute little dink pass to himself around the defender and goes backy shelf hard. Unbelievable goal. Second thing is, just want you to know that sometimes Jimmy Fallon gets dressed up like legendary singers and sung, and then he performs certain songs like that. So that is Jimmy Fallon indeed.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, I'm looking, I'm watching.
And to the untrained eye, or apparently you.
Yeah.
It's incredibly hard to tell Bob Dylan apart from Jimmy Fallon.
Well, I only watched a little bit of it, and I got the audio from it. Thanks for having my back, Mon.
No, hey. That was Jess. That was Jess. She got like the information.
I said it, I got it. No, Mon rolled on it, and you didn't tell me it wasn't really him. No,
I said, wow, isn't Jimmy Fallon talented when you were walking out? I just assumed
you didn't
knew
hear that. You didn't tell me that.
You're lying.
I still love you the same, man.
No, never has my back, Mon. Never. Never.
That's not what this is about.
Yeah, it is. If I knew, I wouldn't have played the clip. I thought it was Bob Dylan legit.
Hey. You know what? Let's go with it. It was Bob Dylan.
All right.
Hey. I got your back. How's that?
All right. At least somebody does on this show.
You're right, George. That was totally Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Hey, Toronto outshot Minnesota 17-3 in the third as the Wild got a 35-save performance from Devin Dubnyk in a 3-2 win over the Maple Leafs. His coach, Bruce Boudreaux, had this hot take about his goaltender.
If he was in Toronto, there would be no Carey Price. I'm just saying media-wise.
Come on.
What does he mean by that? I don't understand that. Does he mean, like, if Devin Dubnyk was in Toronto... That's all we would talk about. We wouldn't talk about Carey Price?
That's silly.
That's disrespectful to Freddie Anderson.
How is that disrespectful to Freddie Anderson?
Well, because that's saying, hey, listen, if he was here, no one would talk about Carey Price. Well, Freddie Anderson's played some really good hockey for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And that's discounting what he's done. That's sort of looking past him, saying, hey, our goalie's better than that goalie. Now, technically, he's right. He's got the best goals against, and I believe he's got the best save percentage as well in the NHL right now. And that's saying something because he plays the majority of their games.
Yeah.
So, a little disrespectful.
It's possibly
true because Devin Dubnyk has been quite the story the last 3 years.
I don't think he was trying to take a shot at Anderson. He's just making the point that nobody talks about Dubnyk.
Right.
Everybody talks about Price in Canada and in this market as well as being the best goaltender in the league. And Dubnyk has a goals against of 1.65 and a save percentage of 9.46 on the team that gives you can't score against them, right? They're best in the league when it comes to goals against. So not getting enough respect. He's making a point in the biggest hockey market, arguably, in North America. Yep. So I think it was a smart comment by
Well, maybe. Maybe I got it wrong.
The Leafs have now dropped 7 straight to the Wild, and Mike Babcock was frustrated post-game.
You want to be better. We look like we got a bunch of kids that know, you know, they're good little players. We got to find a way to win every night.
Yeah, Babcock's team is tied for last place in the Eastern Conference, or in Boston on Saturday night right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. All right, let's get to the Blue Jays. They signed left-hander Brett Oberholzer to a minor league deal yesterday at baseball's winter meeting.
How pumped were you when that came across your phone? That tweet came out, that notice that the Jays signed Brett Oberholzer.
You had to Google it. Adding depth to the organization. Yeah, the 27-year-old split last season between the Phillies and the Angels. He had a 5.89 ERA in 70 and a third innings over 37 games, including 2 starts. The interesting stuff is, because that's not really interesting because he's just a depth piece, is what Bob Nightingale of USA Today tweeted yesterday. Unless there's a surprise entrant, slugger Edwin Encarnacion's finalists appear to be the hashtag Blue Jays and the Indians.
So when I read that yesterday, I kind of threw my hands up, just like Ryan Favreau just did over on the other side of the glass, because emotionally, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Right? Like, is he coming or is he staying? I happen to really like Edwin. I think he's a super valuable player. I think he's a huge fan favorite, and I think it would go a long way towards goodwill with the fans if the Toronto Blue Jays could get him re-signed. I know the majority of fans, though, from the polls that we've conducted, have basically said, hey, listen, if he leaves, that's on him. The Jays made a good swipe at it. Now, that swipe was 4 years, $80 million. He said no mas, thought he could get more. Apparently, he can't. And now, apparently, the number is more like 3 years, $45 to $60
million. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not joking. So that's the mark. The Indians are willing to do something, and the Toronto Blue Jays still want to get something done, but it's going to have to be at a revised price, revised contract. I heard yesterday as well that the option was this. You give him $15 to $20 million this year, or you give him his qualifying offer, which is 17.2, which he turned down, so you give him 17 this year, and then you backload it a little cheaper to get to about $45, $50 million over the next 3 years. But after the first year, there's an opt-out for the player. Which makes sense to me. The opt-outs, as far as I understand it, are really beneficial. You watched Yoenis Cespedes, exercise his opt-out and then get paid this last year. And 35 free agents have signed one-year contracts so far this year in free agency in some way, shape, or form. One-year deals. Very few two-year deals. I think there was 12 or 13 two-year deals. There were three, I believe, four-year deals, and there's only been 2 5-year deals so far signed in free agency. So you can sort of see the way baseball's going. And the Toronto Blue Jays are no different. You know, they want to make sure that they don't commit to any risk that goes beyond 3 4 years, because apparently that's the threshold because of their age. Right. So who knows? I'm just sort of tired of the dance, but it's interesting to see that the Toronto Blue Jays are still there, and you got to wonder if that's a function of the Blue Jays or a function of Edwin and Paul Kinzer kind of going, whoa, 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 we better figure this out before we go down with the ship.
Did you catch Jeff Passan of Yahoo Sports on Tim and Sid talking some Edwin?
No.
This is interesting.
It's possible, I suppose, because if it comes down to it that there's a team out there that really wants a power bat and feels like it's in the space to win right now, you need to find a team that can get that marginal value early on in the contract. And so, yeah, I guess it is possible, but I wouldn't call it probable at this point. When the market has gone down as much as it has, you almost end up playing a game of chicken. And that's what Edwin Encarnacion has done, and he's about 2 inches from a car crash.
There you go. Wow. Fascinating tweet from Buster only yesterday from ESPN saying the Jays could actually sign Edwin and trade Steve Pierce. Because there's teams that are still interested in Steve Pierce, that they could still sign Edwin and then trade Steve Pierce. I thought that was unbelievable that could actually happen.
I guess you can't rule anything out now with the way the market is.
But could you imagine if they trade Steve Pierce?
I wouldn't be unhappy.
Yeah, sure. I mean, could you even trade Morales if you needed to? I mean, he's a good player. He's a much better player. But if you're getting Edwin for such a bargain...
3-year deal?
I mean, you almost have to do it, even though there's so many holes with this team and only so much money you can spend. I don't think bringing Edwin back for a big amount makes much sense, right? You have the Pierce-Smoke combo there for a year, and then hopefully Tellez is ready, and that makes sense to me. Go spend money elsewhere. But if you're getting such a deal, don't you have to entertain it and then just, you know... like, move on from other players if you just signed or make it work? Because at some point, these guys, Shapiro and Atkins, they really like value, right? That's value.
Yeah.
If that's the price. I would be shocked if the number comes that low for a guy who just had a season like Edwin.
The market crashed. I mean, there's still guys out there that'll get paid way less at that position that produce almost as much as he can. You know, you look at a guy like Mike Napoli, he had 100 RBI last year and 31 home runs, right? Now, it's not 42 home runs and 127 RBI. That's still some unbelievable production that you're going to get for $7 million. And not 15, not 17, not 20, $7 million, right? Mitch Moreland, 20 home runs, gold glover at first base, hits for average too a little
bit.
They're
not in the same league.
No, I know they're not in the same league, but they're not going to get paid the same amount. So, you know, if someone has got enough production on their team, i.e. the Boston Red Sox, Mitch Moreland makes some sense. Edwin doesn't because of the cost involved. But if I told you that at the start of this whole thing, which the Toronto Blue Jays offered 4 years, $80 million, and he took that, that would have been a great deal for everybody, you would think. Still a little high priced, but you know you're going to get maybe the most premium slugger on the market in this free agent calendar year. So you're like, I get it. I get the market value. But then if I told you he would have accepted his qualifying offer, you would have said, that's a coup for the Toronto Blue Jays. Well, there's a very good chance he could be playing for his qualifying offer here in the city. Still.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm not kidding you. There's still an opportunity there.
Dina,
and that's because of the market more than anything else. It's not because, Shapiro and Atkins have played chicken and won.
John Morosi had a fascinating tweet about potentially trading a player off the active roster. We'll do that at 6:32. Yankees signed Aroldis Chapman to a 5-year deal worth $86 million. We have the winter meetings wrap up today, and we'll have a special on Sportsnet. You can catch that at 2:30. Raptors and T-Wolves tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The pregame show gets going at 7. And we got a beauty Thursday nighter for the first time ever. Chiefs and Raiders, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet.
Thank you, sir. It is 6:26. Hold on. We will get to more of your Blue Jays news and that tweet from John Morosi coming up in a second. Lay in on the 12 fantastic days of Christmas as well, and get to a Twitter poll question coming up next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening
to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
6:32, welcome, good morning to your Thursday. It's going to be Friday soon, so there's some great news. Also, lots to get to today. We got some Leaf tickets to give you a little after 7 o'clock this morning, 7:45 as a matter of fact. Another chance to win a pair of tickets, the Pair Day giveaway. Also want to remind everybody, excuse me, when it comes to free stuff, we are your free stuff station, destination station.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The 12 Fantastic Days of Christmas contest is back. Incredible prizes to be won every day before Christmas. Easy to play. Join the fan club and use your points to enter to win. Then listen to our show every day to find out if you're a winner. This year's prizing includes packages for My Custom Sports Chair, the Canadian International Auto Show, Pizza Pizza, Mercedes-Benz Oakville, the Palladium Store, and more. Today is day one. We're going to give away a Super Bowl Deluxe Frame Ticket Set. Check out all 12 prizes and enter for your chance to win at sportsnet.ca/590.
We will announce the first winner at around 8:50 this morning.
Is that when we're doing it?
That's true.
This is the one with all the cool tickets in it for all the Super Bowls, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I like those things.
Well, there would be 50 of them, so that's a nice round.
6:34.
Anyway.
Yep.
Tough go today, huh, bud?
50.
Hold on. We'll get to a Twitter poll question coming up in just a second as well. Right now it is time for an update. Here's George. Hey, buddy.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
You all right?
I just, you know, sometimes when you make a mistake, you just hope somebody's there to catch you.
And that was me today.
Yeah. You know when you have that trust exercise where, you know, you lean back and you fall? Like, oh, yeah. My head hit the table.
Yeah, you wouldn't care.
You'd be concussed.
Yeah, I'd be concussed.
You'd have a big bruise.
Yeah, I would. Anyway, this update is brought to you by your Toronto area Ford dealers.
But it was a pretty huge mistake on your part to assume that Bob Dylan was Jimmy Fallon in a clip that you played earlier. And but, yeah, like makes me think you didn't even watch it.
I did a little bit, and I got the audio of it.
And there's nothing funny about concussions, by the way, so sorry.
And there's no such thing as a minor concussion.
On both. 6:35. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt your update. Really looking forward to this one.
All right. Hey, cool. And it's brought to you by your Toronto area Ford dealers. Maple Leafs lost 3-2 to the Wild last night because Devan Dubnyk made 35 saves. Ben Smith and Tyler Bozak got the goals for the Leafs, who faced the Bruins in Boston on Saturday night right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Blue Jays signed left-hander Brett Oberholzer to a minor league deal yesterday. The 27-year-old split last season between the Phillies and Angels and had a 5.89 ERA in 70 in a third innings. He's a depth piece, probably go to Buffalo. Raptors and T-Wolves tonight at 7 with the pregame show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Chiefs and Raiders from Kansas City on Sportsnet. That's a beauty tonight at 8 o'clock. We have an MLS Cup news conference today at 1:30. You can catch that on Sportsnet.
And that thing's going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
MLS Cup. It's coming in with Dwayne D. Rosario. They're going to bring that bad boy in. And I think we're talking with Tim Bezbachenko this morning, correct?
At 8:30, yes.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
We're fired up for the MLS Cup.
Yeah. I'm going. You know what I did?
What?
I purchased tickets for George. George and I have purchased tickets for this. We didn't get them for free. We actually physically purchased them.
Yeah.
Now, I probably purchased them for less than most, but I did purchase my tickets.
Right.
Yeah, I did try to get them for free, for sure.
And you know what? We love TFC so much. It's going to be cold as a mother there, too, on Saturday.
Is it really? What's it going to be?
Like -3?
Get out of here.
Yeah.
That's not that cold.
Do you guys have
I'm just going to get really inebriated, so I wouldn't matter.
Yeah, you're never cold when you're drunk.
No kidding.
Over-under. The guy is drunk. Over-under on beers.
For us?
Yeah.
I don't drink a lot of beer. Beverages themselves?
That's part of the experience at BMO.
7 to 20?
That's a bit of a joke.
Well, I don't know where the evening's going to go. 7's conservative.
Right.
It's not going to be 7 beers because then you just feel bloated and it's like 300-400 calories of beer.
Four cans of beer. 4 cans of beer.
And a horse?
And a horse.
What is this?
And are you going to chant along with the rest of the team?
Yeah, I'm
going to
get into it. We're in the stands. I don't even have usually fortunate that we can go sit in a box with some friends of ours or people that do business. But this is purely a fan experience. I'm excited to go to this game. George and I are going to go. We're going to brush up on our YouTube internet videos on the way there. And I'm going to point out to George that Bob Dylan and Jimmy Fallon are different people. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get there and we're going to grease a couple of cocktails. And I'm going to meet George's brother, which is going to be a lot of fun. I'm bringing a buddy of mine who's it's like my brother. So it'll be a bunch of brothers sitting around, yeah, absolutely, in a circle, and we're going to be drinking all kinds of beverages, enjoying the fan experience. Because if you watch the fan experience in the stands, right, like it's just a full-on party. It's a bash. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Let's go.
And I normally don't look forward to these things because of large groups of people I'm not a big fan of. But I can tell you this. I want to be at that. If you watch that last game against the Montreal Impact, that humdinger, that shootout, that slugfest down at BMO Field, which put them in the MLS Cup, I got jealous that I wasn't at this party watching people have a great time, ripping their shirts off, jumping up and down. Everybody's your best friend. That's an environment. Plus, you may see the very first legit championship in this city, I don't know, since 67 probably.
You're right. Forget those World 90, Series championships.
Yeah.
You can forget the Grey Cup, but don't forget the back-to-back champions.
I'm joking. Since 92, 93. Well, I'm trying to place importance on TFC and where the... And I'll tell you what. You talk about leapfrogging the Argos and the CFL in a heartbeat. It's over. It's not even a conversation anymore.
Because the thing sold out in 3 minutes?
Yeah. Well, it sold out in 3 minutes. That's legit. People are scalping tickets for like $4,000 a seat. That's also legit. It's going to be on Fox primetime on Saturday night. That's also quite legit.
I'm just excited you guys are going to try to be like hardcore fans.
Yeah, I'm going
to
be a fan.
You got to get greased. Maybe take your shirt off at the game.
I haven't taken my shirt off in 25 years. Well, I'm not doing it.
You should probably change that. And I want you guys to like go buy a big drum or some flares or something like that.
There's chance to know, right? And apparently, you know, this is one of them you got to... Here you go, Dean.
Sounds like sounds meditation. Like sounds like a meditation video. When the Reds go marching in. Oh, really? Oh, when the
Reds go marching in. Pretty slow. This one. I wanna be
in. It is a 90-minute game. Oh, when the Reds go
marching. I don't know that I'll be doing that one.
Yeah. There's more, right?
Is there other ones?
That's from the official Red Patch Boys website.
Is there a Danny Diccio chant? I think there's a Danny Diccio chant.
What's the TFC Superstar one, Mon? Can you play that one? Here we go.
I think it was all written by drunk guys.
What?
They just stole When the Saints Go Marching In and Ale, Ale, We Love You, Toronto. That's it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Written by drunk people or children. Maybe drunk children. Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that. I'm going to enjoy the game, though. I'm not going to be chanting. I'll be cheering. I'll be cheering for goals, looking for good plays, looking for a good cross, looking for a good service, a good header. I love defense. I'm going to watch for that. A good save, too. I might cheer for that. But this is legit. This, in my eyes, is as legitimate a championship as there is in professional sport. Sports in North America. I'm serious.
It'll be on Fox down south.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's going to be legit. It's going to be like an international broadcast of a soccer game from this city. It's huge.
Dozens of countries around the world will be tuning in.
Then the UFC goes after his big Saturday night in Toronto.
And you know who we have coming in for that too, by the way?
Ariel Helwani.
In studio tomorrow, 7:30.
Yeah, nice. It's going to be fun. Anyway, busy weekend. Lots getting on. We'll get to that Twitter poll question coming up in just a couple minutes as well. And we'll give you a chance to win some Leaf tickets a little after 7 o'clock. That's next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's sports radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
6:48, I stand corrected. Ryan Fabro just informed me what service means in soccer. I thought it was a corner kick. Apparently not.
That's a set piece.
Yeah, it is.
A free kick can also be a set piece.
Correct.
Why don't we just call it what it is instead of saying set piece and service?
Well, what? Yeah, why are you trying to? You're
making it up.
Going to the game on Saturday, so he's legit.
I paid for tickets.
Yeah, just because
I paid for them with my money.
But just because you're doing that doesn't mean you have to try to use the hardcore soccer terminology.
I have maintained for a long time that I am not a soccer guy. I am a baseball guy. I'm a golf guy. Really like basketball. I like hockey. Soccer's all right.
Slid its way in there.
Yeah. No, I do. I do like hockey. I like playoff hockey. I get tired. I think maybe when you watch as much hockey as we
have
to watch.
Catch Leafs Bruins Saturday on Sportsnet.
No, I do. I love hockey. I think hockey's the greatest. There's four sports at the drop of a dime. And if they're all at the same time, I'd have a hard time not watching baseball. That's all I'm going to say. With the exception of soccer, I'm not a soccer guy. So when I say set piece and service, I'm clearly joking about the fact that I don't even know what the hell they are. I'm going
to
see some nice
soccer. I have to find another station.
Yeah, I'm going to see some nice service on Saturday, right? Mm. I'm going to see a couple of nice set pieces.
Hopefully.
Stop that. Can we talk baseball?
In a second.
Okay.
Either way, I put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to go down there and give it a chance. And that's what that organization needs. That's what they want. That's what I'm doing. No free tickets. Paying. We're paying. George and I are paying out of our own pockets.
I know. And I kind of, it's a hard pill to swallow, and I'm like, we got to pay to see an MLS match?
Yeah,
I had to do some soul searching. I had to sit in a room by myself in a quiet room, do some hard thinking about that. But I'm like, all right, we'll go.
That's right.
It's a once in a lifetime.
It's an
thing.
Experience. Absolutely.
They will never play this game again.
No, they will never play this.
One
game.
Shot deal. One first shot championship. Deal.
First
at BMO.
That's it.
Calm down. Get soccer.
Thank you. 6:50. Interesting quick side note, too, before we get to a Twitter poll question. John Morosi had a very interesting tweet yesterday, Georgie boy. What do you have?
Yeah, he had this to say. Rockies have interest in Blue Jays starter Marcus Stroman, but Toronto isn't willing to trade him for Charlie Blackmon straight up. Charlie Blackmon had a monster season last year for the Rockies at over 300, had 29 homers. His on-base was just shy of 388, had three on-base of 381. Really great outfielder, but for Marcus Stroman straight up?
No mas.
But I'm willing, if I'm Shapiro and Atkins, I would really consider trading Marcus Stroman for some outfield help.
Would you really?
Yeah, it's just... And
when you've got a guy that can that can eat 200 innings, and you got a guy that any day he can be absolutely dominant. I know he's had some bad days, and I know he didn't have a great start, decent start, terrible midway point, decent finish, but he's got some physical limitations not many pitchers in Major League Baseball have.
Well, guys his height don't have long successful careers as starters. They just don't, and they haven't in the history of baseball.
So, you know what would concern me, too, and I don't know if you share my sentiment, but, remember last year, it seemed like it's, and this was sort of the conversation, these were the rumblings that you'd hear. Some people here were talking about it, some weren't when it came to the struggles he was having. It seemed like he kind of maybe didn't take the business of baseball as seriously as that's how it appeared. Now, I say that knowing full well I've got a ton of respect for Marcus Stroman, how he rehabbed from that injury a couple of years ago, the dedication it took for him to do that and finish school at the same time while he tore his ACL. So I know he's dedicated, and that's not the question, but he seemed to kind of love the nightlife, love to boogie, love the clothing line stuff. He loved selling it. He loved the trademarks. And then last weekend I found out he actually did a rap song and released it, and it's actually pretty good. But I thought, this isn't, and I know guys have other interests other than baseball when they're not playing baseball. But I, for whatever reason, didn't sit well with me.
Why? Michael Jordan made movies. Kobe Bryant tried to make a rap album.
Shaq.
Shaq. I mean,
Shaq made lots of rap albums, and they all sucked.
All sucked. Movie Kazam.
Yeah,
movies
you're
sucked.
Garbage.
But who cares?
But they were all,
as long as you perform.
But they were all physically able to perform, and they were physically dominant, and they gave nobody any excuses because they were the best in the world at what they did. Marcus Stroman is not the best in the world at what he does. He is the third or fourth best pitcher in this rotation. So
still was a gamer in the playoffs again.
Yes, he was. Give him credit where credit's due. But here's the song you released, and I'm going to tell you why it bothers me. This is, I can't. Put them bright lights on, I shine on. Put them bright lights on, uh-huh. Put them bright lights on, it's my moment. Do it one time for the squad. And them lights, I hit the switch. 50,000 when I'm dealing in the six. And you know they locked in on every pitch. Life crazy, got the boy tagging me in pics. They think they getting me, but they ain't never stressing.
The Red Patch Boys write this one?
I don't think it's that bad. In the world of where athletes rap, like this is miles ahead of Ray Lewis.
Oh, that's weird that you mentioned.
It's miles ahead of Ray Lewis. That's why men cry for women. That's why women...
Can I slow down?
Because I forget the lyrics. Anyway, listen, Ray Lewis has done his career, so he can rap his face off. But the Marcus Stroman distraction issues for me are, you know, and it's not a driver when it comes to talking about Marcus Stroman. I know he's a very gifted athlete. I know he's a gamer in the playoffs. I've seen it. I follow the team. I love the guy. And I think he's a really important part of this rotation. But when it comes to his physical limitations and when it comes to the extracurriculars, I gotta wonder how long a career this guy's going to have in Major League Baseball and when his outside interest is going to take over. Number one. Number two, physical limits and liabilities. Number three, can you make this team better and not have him in your starting rotation?
Well, that's
and
that's
the Charlie Blackman question. Thing is extremely interesting to me.
Right.
That's why. So, I mean, I've got lots of different motivators for thinking that I'm okay with Marcus Stroman not being in the starting rotation, and those are some of them, and I think they're legit. I think, like I said, I get that people have outside interests. I know that. But his physical limitations combined with the fact that he seems to be distracted at times, bit of an issue for me going forward.
Let somebody else roll the dice long term?
Yeah.
I don't think he's that much of a risk. I think he can be an okay pitcher, but I don't think he can be a dominant pitcher. I don't think he's a number one guy. I don't think he's a top of the rotation guy. And we saw him get exposed during the season last year. He picked up his game. But again, it's that height thing. It's the way. It's the plane of the fastball that worries me.
And you look at the season that Aaron Sanchez had and Estrada and Happ. And I think
Estrada and Happ are only here for another season and two. Yep. So don't you want to build around Sanchez and Stroman?
But do you think you can build around Stroman? That's what I'm asking. Are you confident enough that you think he's a long-term? He will buck the trend. A guy that height will have a long, successful career as a starter.
So you don't think he can be a successful number two for numerous amount of years because he's short and he likes rap music?
No.
Give me a break.
I'm thinking because he's short. No. Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with it. What I'm saying is that last year, all the extracurriculars, he seemed to be distracted, and we know he's got physical limitations. So, you know, parting with Marcus Stroman, and I love him in this rotation. I really do because he's a great piece, eats some innings, and he's young and he's controllable, and there's lots of great factors into why Marcus Stroman fits on this team. However, trading him wouldn't be the trading Aaron Sanchez, that's a no-no. Trading that kind of future, that's physically you can't justify it. Marcus Stroman, I could justify. Anyway, interesting tweet from John Morosi. We'll get to that in your Twitter poll question. Hour number two begins in 5 minutes. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.